Alvin Queen takes the lead because he is the leader of the band behind the drums. This is called Blues Everywhere. Jesse Davis is on alto sax, Terrell Stafford on trumpet and flugelhorn, Mike Ledon, the famous Mike Ledon, on Hammond B3. That's my favorite instrument. I love everybody who plays the Hammond B3, and Peter Bernstein on guitar. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. What is Free Your Mind Friday? If you're joining us for the first time, first of all, welcome aboard. I'm glad that you can be here with us. It's when we just depart from our regular programming format and we just open up the program to opinions and analyses. And they belong to you, of course. We listen to what it is you have to say. And some people will react, some may not. But it is a time that you can open up the spigots of your brain and say exactly what is on your mind. You're reacting to the issues of the day, the news. You may be reacting to or sharing for the first time something that we haven't discussed at all. And you could be introducing that to us. But you must have an opinion. We don't want you just talking. We want you presenting something with an opinion. And that opinion may trigger other opinions, and that's the hope. But it is important for you to keep in mind that this program is for you. It is for you to express your thoughts and views and to elicit in others a similar feeling that they should be expressing their thoughts and views. But we want intelligent conversation, of course, well thought out conversation, and it encourages others to feel less apprehensive about being intellectually nude in front of all of us. We get to see you, but not in the traditional way. We see you from your brain, and we get to get to understand what is on your mind, and people may react. They may not, but they also may react. Okay, so that's what Free Your Mind Friday is all about. You get to point out some things in the news that you thought might have been ignored or is yet to be covered or is yet to be covered from a particular perspective. This is where you talk about that. And it's up to you. You choose your topic. Nobody else does. You choose your topic and then you go for it once you have the floor. Okay. I have some serious thoughts, but of course, this is not my time. I'm listening and commenting from time to time, but this is your time. So please make good use of it and stretch out and see where it takes us all. Okay, the number to call is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Don't let us guess what it is you're eventually going to talk about. Get to it right away and identify the subject so we're not lost. We can follow along and make some mental notes for when people want to comment or differ with you. 888-874-4888. Up first is Harvey from Berkeley. Hello, Harvey. You're on the air.
Hello, super wonderful Eutrice. Hey, wonderful Harvey, what's going on with you?
Well, first of all, I want to say you're a very special natural resource, and we all love you very much.
Thank you. Feeling is mutual, by the way. Very much
all right.
So.
All right. Well, as you know, as you and your vast audience know, we here in America have had a war on poverty, a war on crime, a war on drugs, but what we really need, especially at this time, is a war on trash. The U.S. and the world at large is drowning in garbage, especially single-use throwaway plastic trash. And according to the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, landfills are among the nation's largest sources of methane, which is one of the most potent of the greenhouse gases that's responsible for heating up our fragile planet's atmosphere. And according to NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, last month was the hottest July in 142 years of record keeping. Unfortunately, the landfills are also bad for our health as well as the environment. They're loaded with toxic chemicals, which can end up in our water supply. Recycling is the most obvious alternative to sending waste to the landfills, but a whopping 91% of plastic isn't being recycled, says the National National Geographic Society. We need a major new research and funding to tackle our nation's disastrous trash problem. One idea is to mine the landfills. Traditional mining for metals uses a lot of energy and in many cases damages the environment and poisons the local groundwater. After digging them up, the metals must be refined, which takes a lot more burning of fossil fuels, which damages, which continues to damage our environment and dumps tons of carbon into the atmosphere. And at this time, there are over 1,250 landfills in the United States, and the obvious conclusion is that they are repositories for thousands of tons of pre-refined metals, such as aluminum, titanium, copper, iron, and the list goes on. So before we destroy more of our world's natural habitat for their mineral content, it's time for our country, as well as the world, to mine our above-ground landfills as easy-to-get-to resources of metals, as well as other necessary recyclable materials. And a May 2018 article stated that the U.S. is on track to run out of landfill space within the next few years, creating an environmental disaster. So it's time to turn these disgusting, more than unhealthy, methane-producing abominations into an asset rather than a serious liability. It's time to mine the fills and restore our precious environment for us, our children, and future generations. And I just want to say thank you, Utrice, for letting me share that with you and your audience.
Thank you. Very thoughtful and very forceful. Let's see how people react to it. Thank you, Harry, for calling in and getting us started today.
Thank you.
888-874-4888. Ed, you're next from Queens.
Hey, good afternoon, Utrice. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing? You and your thumbs.
You know me and my thumbs. We're here, we're hanging. Earlier this week, you had raised a point pertaining to the prevalent, what I call a plandemic, which is my word for it based on my research and what I have tended to discover and continue to discover throughout readings and other information from alternative and popular news sources. And you were surprised at the president and his statement. And, first of all, I'm surprised that you were surprised. I mean, from the beginning, I always thought this thing primarily was a cash cow for the pharmaceutical industries and for the drug manufacturers and for the government at large. And that's exactly what it's turning into. Because now the initiative is being, as you stated, changed from a personal health and community health perspective to be vaccinated for an economic resurgence. And it's just, It's just this thing is turning into something that is very ugly. And I just think we really need to resist what is manifesting, as this is going to become a fixture of our life for the immediate future. We're talking about boosters. We're talking about additional injections. We're talking about different types of gene therapies, because I refuse to call them vaccinations or inoculations, because at the root of it, and even the CDC states this, the vaccine does not prevent you from spreading the virus. And the permissions that we have gotten for the first initial vaccines were for the first iteration of the coronavirus. Now we're into the third. And some virologists even speculate before this thing plays out, we might be into a Z or a double A version of this virus as it mutates. And as this virus mutates, its virulence drops. So there might not even be any need for any type of vaccinations, and this thing might result as the common cold. Deaths are still being exaggerated. Numbers are still being played with. The term leaky virus has popped up, or leaky inoculation has popped up in the media as far as the shot not even having the effect that it should as far as preventing you from getting or contracting the virus. And there are still viable economic generic treatments out there that are not being discussed or even considered quantifiable. And now it's being you're even being considered, quote-unquote, a dispatriot or some type of government usurper if you don't get the vaccination. So, I mean, it's putting people in positions. It's putting myself in a position, actually. And we need to stay aware of this, and we need to resist this, because I don't like where this is going.
So what have you begun to do?
Well, like I stated before, I've taken a route of refusing to receive the vaccination based on religious beliefs. As far as the Christian Scientist beliefs that I once ascribed to years ago, but since have not, I never really divorced myself from some of those beliefs, but I've been using that, and so far that's been keeping me in an efficacious position as far as not to receiving the vaccination. But force is being applied. They're using the private sector. They're threatening people's jobs. I know several of my friends and family that employment is on the line now if they refuse to get the vaccine.
We had yesterday a listener talking about him losing his job over his refusal to get the vaccine.
That is becoming a reality. That is becoming a real possibility. And I'm also facing that. I mean, right now, as it stands, my employers are respecting my decision. But as far as my employment, I subcontract with different organizations, and those organizations are taking a hard line, and you can't be on the property if they don't, you know, if they can't find another place for you. I mean, people are being placed in an untenable position. And, you know, I mean, I'm really at a quandary because I don't know exactly a real efficient way of attacking this. But I just want to put it out there and let people know, be aware, because now they're turning this from a personal decision into a national threat. And we all know where the American psyche can go when it comes to national threats and threats to sovereignty and painting people as a threat to the nation. And it could get very ugly.
Thank you. I happen to agree with you there. Thank you very much. Gwen from New York at 888-874-4888. What are you freeing your mind of today?
Well, first I'm going to free my mind of junk. I wanted to jump on to Harvey's bandwagon because I think it's disgusting and deplorable that at least in the city of New York, you can take your entire apartment and all of the contents and put it out on the sidewalk and have the trash man pick it up. It's incredibly wasteful. These things take up enormous amounts of space in landfill. And I'm pretty sure you didn't used to be able to do this. I've never seen anything like this where people are so lazy that when they move, they don't even move the contents of their apartments with them. So we've become such a throwaway society that the only equation that we have for any value is its monetary value. We don't care about what it's doing to the planet. And so when I get elected to public office in New York, I am going to outlaw people throwing their furniture away. You're going to have to take it to Salvation Army. You're going to have to recover it. I mean, for people that, I know this probably sounds maybe really fun, like nuts and bolts to people. Like, well, you know, what's the point? Well, I think it's a big point. When you throw gigantic items out like this in the trash, they're really, really bad for the environment. And we also have ways, I mean, my furniture I cover, and every time I do it, it's beautiful. So you don't have to throw things out. You get better furniture that's older furniture that's made out of wood is better quality, and you're not hurting the environment. And I just think that that landfills, plastic, and trash are huge items that really need to be in the forefront of our minds, but not as much as the COVID virus at this point, which is really terrifying me as well. I heard the man call yesterday about losing his job, and it is getting scarier and scarier. I went to the protest, as I said the other day, downtown with the unions to fight this mandatory vaccine. And as I was walking downtown, I could see the courthouses now have signs on them. You know, you can't enter unless you can prove that you've been vaccinated. And more we see these doors closing. And, you know, I got called to work somewhere this week, and I have a predicament, you know, and I had to be honest with the woman who called me. But interestingly enough, she's in the same predicament. But hers is probably more serious because she is a person of management. She's been at this place for a long time. And she doesn't, so far, everything's okay. But the law says right now in New York, you can practically go into no establishments without bringing some kind of identification with you that proves you've had this vaccine. And I think it's even more dangerous than what's much more dangerous than people know. And I think that, of course, it's just a vehicle for ultimate and total control. And I find it, the silence is deafening here in the United States, that no one, I never thought that people could be talked into something so easily, especially when it comes to your body. And that there's very little protesting back. I'm one of five children. All four of the children in my family have taken it. My niece took it. She's in bed right now with COVID virus. Her baby's in the hospital, in Children's Hospital, with something called RSV, which is similar to the COVID virus in that it's an RNA virus. And that's kind of interesting because it's only one of three. These are all kind of spinoffs from SARS. So we're seeing things that are all spinoffs from SARS starting to show up. And it just feels really lonely up here in New York. I feel like we're living in a police state and that all of our rights have become privileges. And I'm scared, and I don't understand how they are willing. It sounds like they're willing to displace huge portions of the population. And I think somebody was speaking on this station the other day, but I can't remember what show it was on, that the United States Coast Guard that day had something posted on their website about how to train to handle internment camps here in the United States. And this is really scary stuff. So what do they do with people that they will not allow to work? And I want people to also get ahead of this and realize that there's something else that they want to do. It's not just that they're not going to let you work. There'll be a time when they come around and say to landlords here in New York City, it's a dangerous threat to have somebody living in your building who doesn't have a vaccine. So you're going to have to remove them from your building. So landlords may be mandated to get rid of people that are living in buildings that are people not vaccinated. You can't go food shopping anymore. But I tell you, as I said yesterday, it's all the money's pouring up to the usual oligarchs. So you can't go food shopping. Jeff Bezos is benefiting both ways. He's getting all the traffic for the people that are ordering online because they can't go food shopping anymore. So they're making money either way, and they're still putting small businesses out of business. So for me, what's on my mind today, and nothing else is taking up space, is the mandate. And even this time in my life, I have never voted Republican in my entire life, not ever. But there's two candidates running for mayor, and one of them has said no to the mask mandate. And I'm sorry, but probably that's going to be my biggest issue, because I feel that that mask mandate is not one law. That's just the beginning of the end for all of us here that refuse to allow our bodies to be turned over as an experiment for some mad scientists. And let's face it, this is not a natural disease. It has a patent on it. So we saw, you know, we saw who bought the patent. We saw where it was manufactured. We don't know how it got out. We don't know if it got out, you know, by an accident or any other way. But the point is that, you know, you guys made this mess, and now you want to come around and tell me that, you know, I can't even take care of my own body because you know what's better for me. I don't think you know what's better for me. I think something called gain of function research, is deviant. It's satanic. It's terrible. The thing that to go into a lab and try to figure out, you know, how much bigger you can make a virus that will kill people. These people are mentally ill. There's something wrong with them. So I'm supposed to turn my body over and say, just go ahead and I'll be part of the experiment. And the pressure that we're under here is tremendous. I mean, as you know, every time you turn on the TV, I heard a horrible woman that went on NPR the other day, who was an employer, who said, well, I am certainly glad that the mayor has said, if we fire people that have not taken the virus, we do not have to give them unemployment. And she said, why should I give them unemployment for breaking our rules? I'm like, wait a minute. These are not your rules. These are the rules that the government is imposing upon your businesses. But they're not your rules that you thought of. But this is what some people are starting. They're actually taking on the mantle for these dastardly people at the top. You know, they want to be somebody. So they're going to be a part of it. It just reminds me of looking at all the, you know, all of the films they made about Nazi Germany and people who ratted each other out and people that turned on each other. It just feels like that here. It's a very, very negative feeling. And, you know, when I hear things about what are now happening in Australia, and I think, you know, I see the same thing happening here. Just one last thing I want to say, though, is that at this rally, there were, as I said yesterday, lots of different people, way different people. Like, whoever thought the Trumpsters and the Black Lives Matter will be standing together. But it is important that we do stand together on this issue. We can fight about politics later. But I think that anyone that's going to go to a rally should go to a rally and should put their politics on the side during that time. Because it's going to take a lot of bodies to make a difference with this thing or to get it rescinded. And if we fight amongst ourselves, we are going to do exactly what the people up at the top expect us to do and want us to do.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for your very considered opinion today, Gwen. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Therese. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
You have a lot of interesting callers today, and I have an opinion for almost all of them. But where to start? The most interesting one I've noticed from the longest since last year has been this divide, whether to wear a mask, not wear the mask, not get vaccinated, to get vaccinated. And I think the powers that be have us right where they want us, divided in a time of turmoil. They like to have us like this, confused. And people don't get it. People just don't get it that this is what they want. People want us to be bickering at each other's throats. We're in such a heightened time. I mean, people don't say good morning to each other. People don't look at each other anymore. People don't say, hi, neighbor. Everybody's so violent and at each other's throats because, are you a mask-wearing person, or you don't wear a mask, you're invading my space, and that's where they want us. They want this country like this. They want us divided, we fall, and for those folks, okay, here I'm living in Orlando, Florida, and in this state we have Governor Ron DeSantis, and he's been fighting for people to have the right to choose what they want to do. In Texas, I believe there's another governor doing the same thing over there. People have choices. if you haven't figured out by now that the Northeast and California are police states, it took COVID for you to realize that, then you had it made in the shade for the longest, because I've been knew that, and that's the reason I left, okay? Because those places are nothing but police states. New York City, for example, has, I don't know, a cop, well, used to, I don't know about now, but you used to have a cop in every corner. I mean, there's nothing but a police state, okay? You couldn't park a car and look the other way without getting a ticket right away. And you're wondering, wait a minute, I just parked this car here. Who put this ticket? I mean, they were like ninjas. They used to swoop in, give you a ticket, and disappear. And you're like, what? Where did this ticket come from? Those areas are police states. So if you don't like it over there, hey, come down to Florida. And by the way, we're giving away COVID. Buy one, get one free. If you want COVID, come down and get COVID. Because right now, Florida is one of the number one states in the country with COVID.
That's buy one COVID, get plan. One free.
Hey, you can have COVID. Buy one, get one free down here if you like. You know, take all the vitamin D and zinc and all your little concoctions you want. Ain't going to help you. So come down and get some COVID if you like. So, you know, it's just funny to me because, I hear these people, you know, back and forth, whether it's a person getting upset because someone's not wearing a mask or, oh, my God, they're mandating vaccines. And, hey, live your life. Live your life. Stop worrying about the stuff. There's options. If you don't like it where you're at, go somewhere else. That's the beauty of the United States. There's 50 different states you can roam around to and go. Stop limiting yourself to where you live in this country. You have the right to choose to where you want to be in this country. You don't like it where you're at now? Move.
Hmm. Well, I'm sure we'll get some feedback on your point of view today.
Sure.
Thank you so much for calling in, Tony, and contributing.
Thank you.
Jackie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm hanging in.
Okay. You have really a wide and very wild variety of opinions here this Friday, and you had spoken earlier about the need to think critically and do some research, and I know it's to free your mind, so let me get to my point. My point is this, this is Jackie's personal opinion, we never discussed the importance or the impact of spirituality in governing one's life or traveling through life. And I know this is not a religious program, and I know there are people of all different belief systems who call in, which makes it interesting. But at the same time, I think the aspect of spirituality does form opinions, does shape a person's life, and can lead or not lead to conclusions. And that's why I wanted to bring that up. So I know you can't have a theological discussion or you choose not to, but at the same time, I think this is something that should be considered in our discussions. Now going I don't remember the gentleman, I think he's from Queens. He said one of the reasons why he didn't want to take the vaccine does have something to do with his history with Christian Science practice. And
Ed from Queens.
Okay, Ed. All right, so these are the kinds of things that I think, these are the kind of considerations I think that should also be included in the discussion. I have very, very dear people whom I love very much, like family. They are family to me, who have not taken the vaccine. And I understand their reasonings for the most part, and I respect their reasonings, and I avoid, you know, having in-depth discussions with them about it because I respect their decision, and I respect them as people, and I know they've looked into this and they've researched it, and some have pre-existing health conditions. So there's all different reasons why people don't take the vaccine. I think we should be respectful of one another, about this issue, whether you're vaxxed or not vaxxed. I don't quite share Gwen's hysteria about, you know, the landlords are going to put people out and blah, blah, blah. But there is a move towards making people identify themselves as either vaccinated or non-vaccinated. So this is, as I see it, there's two problems here.
But before you go any further, why did you call it hysteria? She didn't sound hysterical to me.
No, she did. Okay, I withdraw that word and I'll use a different word. I'm not saying she is hysterical. I'm saying that some of the things that she says to me is promotes hysteria. Like, I understand her grave concern about maybe losing her job or the possibility of not being able to work. That is a reality. But I don't think the landlords are going to come and say you have to get out of your apartment because you're not vaccinated. And I am not a big supporter. I'm a tenant, so I want to make that clear. Okay, but there's certain things that I think require more in-depth analysis. The other thing is, it appears that the law, as most of the time, is marching out of step and lagging behind what the real concerns of the people are. And that's always a problem. You know, the reality is, how do you treat people who have no vaccination, and what are their legal rights versus the people who have vaccinations and their legal rights? Because as it stands now, it appears that everybody has the same legal rights. So there hasn't been any discussion by the politicians or the legislatures, as far as I know, that says, you know, everybody still has equal rights, whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated. But when you start impounding on people's ability to work, ability to earn a living, you know, ability to enjoy certain things in this society, that's going to be a problem. So I don't.
Well, if I might put in two words here, and that is, most everybody has set aside the stark reality that we are living in right now, and that is, this is a pandemic. And we still think, and we're still operating with the idea that, you know, it's all about democracy. There's no democracy in a pandemic. The government asserts itself. It has all the power to do so. And we are still thinking, well, they ought to listen to us. They ought to do what we want them to do. No, this is a pandemic. It is a national emergency. And in most pandemics, there is no democracy. Do you accept that?
Sure, I agree with what you're saying. But what I'm saying is, like they were talking about what happens to us, the people who want to still deserve the right to make their own decisions about their own lives and their own bodies. See, that's where the question comes up. What happens to you if you don't want to submit or comply or acquiesce, whatever word you want to use, to the government's dictates? What happens to those people?
The government has made it clear what happens and what could happen. The government has made it very, very clear. We just refuse to accept it. We refuse to understand the government's position. It has, in fact, President Biden himself has said it. He has said it. He has the power to do things. People may not like what they're doing. People may object strenuously. In the name of democracy and constitutional rights and whatnot, but this is the framework within which we are living and operating. And the scales are never going to be equal in this kind of situation. So the one who has more power wins.
Well, that's always been the case. I agree with what you're saying, Chief. That's always been the case. But the issue here, what I'm trying to say is that even in light of the pandemic, okay, like when Governor Cuomo was in office, he declared some emergencies and put in place some practices based on emergencies. I don't think, and I'm not saying that we should, this government should do that, but I don't think that emergency powers have been invoked completely federally. Now, recently, the United States Supreme Court found that the CDC could not issue eviction moratoriums. So now they said they don't have the authority to do that. So now we're faced with the issue is what happens to thousands and thousands of people who are facing eviction in this country.
Absolutely. And how do you think that came about?
A big pardon?
How do you think that decision came about?
A group of property owners sued, and they challenged the authority of the CDC to issue such a moratorium. And the United States Supreme Court agreed with that.
That's correct. They hold a great deal of influence over decision making in the state. And they were successful, evidently, in persuading the governor to act in step with what they want. So they got what they wanted. We still are, in a way, fantasizing that the situation is normal and that we could continue to expect that it would hold as normal for a long time. That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. There doesn't seem to be any provision for alternative. That's my concern. People are still going along and thinking things are the way they used to be, and they're not any longer. So what happens
to
all the people?
They're going to learn the hard way. The fact is there will be no change, at least not the ones that they want. It's not going to happen. What the landlords have wanted for a long time is the ability to control the real estate market under the guise of the pandemic. And they made the case that they are suffering great hardship and so forth. They're getting what they want. And we're not seeing a counter to it.
No, I'm not disagreeing what you're saying, but my point is like step two or three after that. Okay, now the rental market, the housing market is being decimated. What happens to the people? Is the government going to put them in care? I don't know what this is.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Disconnect very briefly there. But this is the thing. People are kind of stymied, it seems to me. They're not able to move forward. They're not able to recoup and restructure their approach. They're not able to do what they have to do because they're acting as if this thing caught them completely unaware. But that's not the case. That's not true. This was coming. And our reality now, it's really undeniable how far right the governments, various governments have gone, and the people are going to be suffering tremendously because they're not organized. They're not organized. Thank you, Denise. Jackie, sorry for your call.
Okay.
Denise, you're up next. Hello, Denise.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so I wanted to respond partially to something Gwen said and something I heard a couple of weeks ago. Gwen mentioned that BLM supporters and Trump supporters were standing side by side at City Hall at the rally she went to the other day. And I want to just capitalize a little bit on that. I think that there's a lot of folks who do support Trump or are part of that movement, are caring about political freedom, and the folks who are concerned about the vaccines, et cetera, are concerned about medical freedom. And I think that these two movements for freedom are natural allies, but there are so many blocks in the way, political blocks that we have because of mostly the media shaping our culture. And I've heard people say things like, I wear a mask because I don't want to be mistaken for a Trump supporter, or, you know, kind of wild things like that, which there's so much division. There's so much division, political division. And that brings me to a concern that I had. It was a couple of weeks ago. I believe one of the callers' name was Eugene. He had a little discourse with you about he wanted to say two good things about Trump, and the two of you had some back and forth about that. But he started off his comment with, "We all know that Trump was the worst president," or something to that effect. And just that comment, I want to speak on for a moment and say that I think that's a type of a groupthink that we need to consider getting beyond. We don't all know that Trump is the worst president. Those who believe that, and then there are so many others who don't. So I I've heard that kind of we language around Trump on your program multiple times. So I just want to say that we don't all believe that. And maybe we want to start to make room for a larger conversation or a larger population to participate, because there were 76 million voters who voted for him. And sometimes when I hear this we language, you know, that we all think that Trump was the worst, or some other kinds of strong comments about him being, you know, negative comments, I just kind of wonder, well, what are we saying about those 76 million voters? Do they not have an opinion? Are they all perhaps racist? I don't think so. You know, who are all those people?
But if you don't mind me saying this, you're raising an old and tired argument. What's new about what it is you're talking about?
Well, why is that old? I think it is new. I think what.
Well, for one thing, Trump is out of office. So
exactly,
whether he's a good president or a bad president, given the times we're in, it's a moot point, as far as I'm concerned. We're fighting about whether he is a good president or a bad president.
Yeah. No. Never mind. You know what I'm saying is. There's still this resistance to being associated with anyone who would perhaps vote for Trump. And also, he is considering running in 2024. So here we're going to go again on that roller coaster ride where
he could consider he wants. Here's what's facing Trump: a truckload of lawsuits, a truckload of bankruptcies. He's got a lot on his agenda right now that he can't handle. And we should be less concerned about Donald Trump, because this has been the problem with Donald Trump. Everything is personalized around Donald Trump, and he's dominating attention on that basis, that he deserves an extraordinary amount of attention because he's Donald Trump. No, he doesn't deserve that much attention.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
okay.
And people should feel free to engage in public discussions about Trump and his policies, which have been horrible, including, by the way, the current situation we're in. In a very real way, he ushered it in.
But he's not in charge right now. But
I'm sorry?
Patrice, you just said that he's a thing of the past, but yet you're blaming him for the situation we're in right now? I don't...
Yes.
Well, how? You can't have it both ways.
If you do some reading, you will see how Donald Trump and his so-called policies basically made it inevitable that there would be this crisis.
Well, I'm not sure what you're reading. I think that the 76 million are reading other things, and this is the
76 million doesn't mean anything to me, because 76 million people could be mid-range in intellect. They could be high in intellect. We don't know.
Right.
76. Right. When you say 76 million, like the number justifies some theory, it doesn't. Not to me.
Well, it doesn't.
Because I can make a counter argument that 76 million people of medium or higher than average intelligence would never have voted for Donald Trump in the first place.
Oh, now there we go. See, now that's
there we go. That is an analysis on my part. That's not there we go.
Exactly. Exactly. It's an opinion. So I'm just presenting the other opinion, which is perhaps there are people of those 76 million that you might like to talk to in order to broaden the conversation.
I don't want to talk to most, to be very honest.
How do you know?
How could I want to talk to all these people? It's physically impossible to do that.
Not all of them.
I have my own analysis of Donald Trump. I've known him since New York, and his racist policies since New York.
Long before he aspired to public office.
I've known this guy as a press reporter, as a news editor. Donald Trump is not news to me.
Okay. So, yeah, I understand. I'm just saying that we have, you know, in this country, we have literally half of the electorate voted for him. And so I'm wondering what, you know, when we use language like, oh, we know he's the worst president. I'm just saying this is a really intelligent forum. Might we want to open up the dialogue?
No. You're missing the point, and you're doing so deliberately, I must say. That was a finding as a result, not of just one poll, but several polls found him to be the worst president.
Including a large swath of Republicans. That polls, who cares about polls? I mean, we're talking, you have real live people on your show.
I give you the counter to your question, and now you're asking, well, who cares about polls? That's what you cared about. You told me about the percentage of people who voted for Donald Trump. Half the nation, half the voters voted for Donald Trump. Now you're telling me, well, it doesn't matter what the polls say. Donald Trump based his actions on, his polls.
Well,
so if you have no regard for polls, please appreciate the fact
that
Donald Trump did everything, and still does to a large degree, everything based on polls.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one thing I would just throw in there based on what you just said is that there was apparently a May deadline that Biden was everybody was supposed to come out of Afghanistan, and Biden ignored that. So I don't think you can blame what's going on right now on Trump.
If you're going to have an intelligent, analytical conversation, I'll be happy. But don't do this is high school or pre-high school level discussion that we're having now. There are enough facts available to you and to everybody else
There are
what
enough
media are you listening to?
Articles written. There are enough pieces of information and documentaries and so forth available that would help you look at another side of these questions and to then ask other questions. But don't
but
just
if we is there only this, one
clearly,
there
you clearly are a Trump supporter. That's okay by me. That's fantastic
okay,
by me.
So let's not just dismiss the other side. Why don't we tell the truth, which is that there are two sides, and you know.
But that is a simplistic thing to say. To tell people there are two sides to a story, really? In 2021, you're now discovering that?
Well, in 2020, you're the one that just said that Trump isn't responsible for what's going on right now. So, I mean, which way is it?
If you do any reading, if you are a consistent reader and consumer of news, that would be a legitimate point, what you just repeated that I said, because that's what the news media generally, the coverage has reflected that. And Trump himself has reflected that. I'm not making it up.
Reflected what? I'm not sure what exactly you're referring to, but I do know that the media is incredibly divided. Incredibly. Because I bobbed
So you don't know exactly what your point is that you're making today. You're jumping from point to point to point, hoping something would stick.
Yes. Okay,
Give
I would
me
love to
last look at what is your point?
Okay, here's my point. My point is let's try to reach across the divide that is in this country if we want to. If we want to have a broader conversation, I don't mean you and I mean we the people, all of us. We have to
We the people
maybe,
are naive. We the people are naive. We can't just, it's like saying kumbaya, let's hold hands and sing great songs. And that will
no,
heal
that's
the
not
country.
What I'm saying.
No, it doesn't heal the country. You
I'm
are ignoring or choosing to ignore some very hard evidence that that is going to be nearly impossible to happen because the seeds of discord were very carefully sown over a long period of time. You don't just fix it by holding hands and singing kumbaya.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. I don't think that it's not about a kumbaya moment. It's about beginning a process of starting a dialogue and recognizing that there are two different factions in this country, at least, that have completely different views and are listening to two completely different media sources, and that is a great divide, and it's part of our problem. It's part of the problem
no, it's not
that we're
part
having.
Part of a problem. In fact, what you're referring to as divisive is what democracy is all about: difference of opinion and people facing each other on that basis.
Yes,
what is your opinion?
Exactly.
And that is what democracy is.
Exactly.
Why should we have unanimity
right
of agreement? No.
I think that's exactly what we're doing right now. I'm just bringing to the table the other point of view because I think it gets lost in the shuffle too often. And I'm saying it's a valid point of view. I used to be on the left, and then I began to look into the other side, and that's why I am where I am right now. It's just
okay.
Having,
well, that's you.
Yes.
What we need to appreciate is that we have a huge population and they have miscellaneous views. This insistence that we all sit down and agree on something is not practical and it's not even realistic. What we have to do is, at the very least, where we can start is an honest appraisal of the role of the leadership of this country that has done more than its fair share of fracturing this country
Are you creating also referring divisions. To what's going on right now?
Leadership. Are you the leadership to Joe has Biden? Been poor.
And Nancy and Pelosi? I mean, they are herself, incredibly fractured.
We have to shut down now because we're out of time. Thank you so much for calling and contributing today. I really appreciate it. Thank you all for calling and making the program quite exciting, I think, today. Over the weekend, take it easy. Surround yourself with people who bring good things into your life. And take time to enjoy life a little bit. It's important. It really is. And then get ready to do battle on Monday. Bye-bye.